on 1116 SEN. Hungry for Sport with Kevin Bartlett for Audi Penfold Burwood, celebrating 50 years of the Penfold family. And Flex Vehicle Management Service. Find out more at flexvs.com.
9:07, good morning and welcome to the program. Congratulations, New Zealand. That was a thrilling win last night over South Africa. The Proteus can stuff things up. Even the great AB de Villiers fumbled a run out. And at a crucial time in the match, they dropped a catch with fieldsmen colliding. McCullum was breathtaking, smashing 59 off 26 balls. And it took South African-born Grant Elliott to hero status, making 84 not out and cracking a six off the second last ball. Australia will beat India and take them apart in the final. The MCG Centre Square is bigger than Eden Park. The likes of McCullum, Guptill, Williamson and Taylor will be caught halfway to the boundary. For the Kiwis, the carnival is over. I'm KB. That's my take.
Oh, here's a chance. If he hits, he's gone. Oh, has he hit the stumps? I don't think he had the ball.
Oh, Durant, that wasn't no. The stumps line up. I think the clock has knocked the bales off. The throw must have been also close. Oh, it's gone up. Now, someone's got to get to this, surely. Someone's got to get to it. Here we go, Dale Steyn. Elliott on strike. Elliott hits it up on the grandstand, and New Zealand are in the World Cup final! Grant Elliott, Superman! South Africa despair, they're down on their knees. New Zealand goes wild. They're making the trip for the big prize.
I don't think this win is for myself, it's not for the team, but it's for everyone here. The support has been amazing for you guys.
It was an amazing night, 9-4, 2-9, 11-16. Did you watch it? Fantastic win by the Kiwis. A thrilling game, of course, interrupted by rain and then getting down to that second last ball. And Elliott, born in South Africa, hits a six and they win. Of course, they go through to their first ever World Cup final. They'll be playing Australia. We'll absolutely thrash India. And, of course, the Kiwis can never beat Australia at cricket. Coming up, 9-4, 2-9, 11-16 is our famous talkback number, 0433-98-11-16. If you want to send through an SMS, if you want to tweet, at KevinBartlett29 or at Hungry for Sport. The Buzz, Johnny Ralph, is going to join us. Also, Ian Robson, CEO of Melbourne Victory, will fix your golf swing with Rowan Dummett. Josh Marnie will join us today, Melbourne Football Manager. Today is Melbourne's Membership Day on 11-16 SEN to become a Demon member. All you have to do is call 1-300-DEMONS or visit the Melbourne membership site. That's melbournefc.com.au. Frank Panisi also, the Storm's footy manager, and also we'll talk about the Bulldogs. They've got a fantastic new membership campaign as well. But coming up, The Buzz, Johnny Ralph.
Well, I'm a king bee, baby. Want you to be my queen. Together we can make honey.
On Hungry for Sport, John Ralph.
Get on to Johnny Ralph.
For the all-new redesigned Kia Carnival. Test drive at your Kia dealer now.
Good morning, Buzz.
How are you, Kevin? Not a bad game of cricket, that. Oh, amazing. 10 hours later, I think I'm still shaking. It was the most gripping sporting event I've seen of the summer, and you might like to call in and tell us what your moment of the summer was been. But it had absolutely everything. 5 clear chances for the South Africans, beaten by a former comrade, still with the South African twang. The game going down to that second last ball. It's taken a while, this World Cup, but it's been worth the wait, hasn't it? And consider the summer of cricket we've had. A super World Cup that, as I say, has dragged out a bit, but with some exceptional games. A big bash final that went down to the final ball. Now, Brett Lee was on a hat-trick. The ball was fumbled by Henriques in the return. Perth win another big bash tournament. Yeah, a really tough test series in which I think we fell in love with a lot of our players again, given the response to the Phil Hughes situation and the tributes from Warner and Clark. And now this. This has been the summer that cricket has taken over again. I mean, they've had some ups and downs. We've had some Ashes. We've had some poor summers. But this has been an absolute rip-snorter.
Do we like cricket on small grounds?
I think we do. And you know what? I know that some people are critical of 2020. And some people say that 2020's taken over from the one days. I think the 2020 game has enhanced the one day game. Mm-hmm. Because you can be out of it. And then 5 overs later, you're back into it. You can take 3 or 4 wickets in a cluster and all of it. The swings and the momentums of that game, there must have been 10 or 12. It was extraordinary.
It's disappointing when rain does interrupt, because after 43 overs, you've got AB de Villiers, who's probably, you know, he's probably balanced his innings to that particular point, thinking, well, you know, with about seven overs to go, that's when I'm really absolutely going to launch. How many runs could he make, you know, in seven overs? I mean, let's face it, there was 50 off 26 balls from McCullum. So you're never quite certain that, you know, a batsman at the end, I know they work it all out, the Duckworth-Lewis system, which I've never been able to understand, but you can't. How do you factor in someone like a McCullum coming in, you know, with seven overs to go, or lifting his batting with seven overs to go, or someone like de Villiers who can do extraordinary things? How do you factor in that X factor that they've got to make, you know, hit 10, 12 runs and over?
You can't. And that's why the Duckworth-Lewis system is being changed, because you can't factor in that explosion. Now, South Africa were 3 for 216 after 38 overs. And then, of course, they got five more overs in. But you look at there, I mean, if they've got 12 overs, you can make 12 overs, 12 runs and over. So they could have been 350. And all of a sudden, the chase is, what, 290 off 43 overs. Did they choke, Kevin? Five clear chances. Dorminian Bayardine in the 42nd over. AB de Villiers fumbles a run out in the 32nd. De Kock misses a throw in the 41st. Yep. De Villiers in the 41st. De Kock again for that bye that got Elliott on strike. So five chances, four of them in the last couple of overs. My immediate thoughts straight away were that New Zealand took the game away from them. But when you look at all those chances, you only have to take one or two of those. Maybe they did choke. Maybe they're cursed, because, you know what, again, for the second time in, what, five World Cups, the Duckworth-Lewis got them. They found ways to conjure defeat. Quite extraordinary.
Heard the boys speaking about this on Morning Glory today, about how many sixes have been hit during the tournament. They were putting up, it was over 400, they were putting up last night, 450 yep. or 60, whatever it was. And the question is, how many of those have been hit at Eden Park? Because, you know, when they get to the MCG, I mean, McCullum and, you know, Guptill and those sorts of guys, and Taylor and even Elliott, they'll hit some of those balls, and they'll be caught, you know, 20 metres in from the boundary line.
You're getting a bit cocky. McCullum, who can slay any attack on any ground, Guptill, who's made 190, although was run out again yesterday. I tell you what, they are
hit and miss though. McCullum's got to be hit and miss, isn't he? Kevin. I mean, you watched him last night. He went out there with that you know, mindset that he was going to take him on. I think he was, you know, I think Guptill, who made what 237, was on about two runs, and he was on about 40 or whatever it was.
Yep.
But I mean, he really attacked the bowling. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there was a couple of, you know, swishes early in that, even in the first over by Steyn. I mean, there was a couple of swishes there where just a little edge and he was gone. So, I mean, he's either going to be on or he's going to be off.
Kevin, India has won 11 World Cup matches in a row. We're no certainty to get past them. If you're looking for omens, well, New Zealand have got the NBL Championship title. The All Blacks have finally broken their hoodoo. 2011, they won the World Cup. And so, imagine New Zealand, who we've laughed at for so long. It's just been hilarious, taking the piss out of New Zealand.
Have you had a look at our batting lineup?
I have.
We could be five for, we've made for 15, nothing
yes.
and still make 350 runs.
We've made 15 changes to it through the tournament. Hey, the only thing I would say is that this is against South Africa, against India on a pitch that does turn.
Yeah.
And so, how many spinners will they play? I mean, I think if we played this at the MCG, Adelaide Oval, Brisbane, I think that we would dominate India. But it's got to give him a real chance, given that deck will spin and will be slow. I don't know what the pass score is, but I would think that if India could have handpicked a pitch, it would be the SCG. So it's going to be enthralling, as a lot of this World Cup has been.
Lots of talk about ice in the footy community. You've written a big story about that and broke that story in the last, what, 48 hours. I know yesterday Eddie on his program was talking about having a phone call, 27 members you know, from a team under the influence of ice played last week, according to one of their team members. You know, Les Twenneman came on this program, said he's doing ice forums all around the country. They're expecting, you know, 50 to 100 people maybe to turn up, and 500 and 600 people are turning up. So it was a big story that you broke. Congratulations on that. There's a lot of talk about Patrick Dangerfield. Chris Paltrow is suggesting that, you know, to get him, it's going to cost you $1.25 million, suggesting that some clubs can afford that. So would you pay $1.25 million for Patrick Dangerfield? And also, I noticed that Damien Hardwick has challenged Tyrone Vickery to step up and to realise his potential. So as we go to the break, I'd like you to tell me which player at your club would you like to challenge to step up and realise his potential. And the Buzz is always brought to you by Eco Garage Doors for all your garage door needs. At Eco, they don't just make insulated garage doors, they have the largest range of garage doors on the Australian market. Now, Eco will also like to welcome all builders and renovators to call for comparison pricing, as they will guarantee, yes, They will guarantee to beat any price. 9703-1500. That number again, 9703-1500. Also, there's a traffic alert. There's been a truck smash on the Monash Freeway and it's now been fully closed, city bound, at Waverley Road, Warrigal Road. So Waverley Road and Warrigal Roads, all traffic has been diverted. Now, Dandenong Road maybe is the only other option, we're told, for drivers out that way. So it could be closed, we're told, until very, very late this afternoon. So truck smash on the Monash Freeway, and it's now been fully closed, city-bound. Let's take our callers along with the Buzz, Johnny Ralph. Rob joins us in Noble Park. G'day, Rob.
G'day, Kevin. How are you doing?
We're going great. Thanks for joining us.
Okay. Kevin, I'm a Kiwi. I'm really excited about the boys. They played an amazing performance last night. I just want to say, like, Brendan McCullum, what he's done, not just with the game last night, but turned this team, the New Zealand team, around over the last couple of years has been nothing but extraordinary. 5 years ago, they were playing on a level with teams like Bangladesh and Zimbabwe, and not much light at the end of the tunnel. And what he's done, bringing the team back, and they've been competitive in Test cricket and one-day cricket over the last couple of years, has been nothing short of extraordinary. And I think great kudos goes to him, and also to the whole team. He's lifted some world-class performances out of a very small nation.
And, Kevin, they set themselves for this World Cup.
Yes, they have.
Going years back. And you know who else set themselves for this World Cup? India. So you can be, provocative.
I heard some of those...
But they're a huge chance against Australia.
New Zealand commentators speaking recently, Rob, about McCullum, and there was a lot of talk. You can give us the background here, Rob, that a lot of people didn't want him to be captain of New Zealand. He's a little bit different than what they've had in the past as far as their captains are concerned. He's very courageous in making decisions, and I suppose we can see that in the way that he bats and the way, that,
his
he,
field
way that he attacks and field placings and that. But it seemed that at one stage there a lot of people in New Zealand didn't want him as captain.
McCullum is not, well, he was seen as a wicketkeeper. He started out as a wicketkeeper, you know, a bit of a smasher of the ball. Those aren't the type of player, you know, in the past we've had guys like Fleming, Martin Crowe, these
statesmen,
batsmen, Vittori. They're all very conservative characters. So McCullum was not seen as captain material, but I think he really does suit the New Zealand character in some ways, in that he's not, he's a bit rough around the edges, and he's ready to have a go. And I think there's a touch of Australian in that as well.
Well, I'd like to hear from more Kiwis like Rob, who was thrilled last night into the World Cup, very confident they can go all the way with Brendan McCullum at the helm. Thanks for that, Rob. DJ's from Richmond. G'day, DJ.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
What a thrilling, extraordinary night of sport that was. And as you said, one of the highlights of the summer, and it didn't even involve Australia. And for me, the two obvious points that came out was a reminder again of what a great game the 50-over game is when something's on the line. And that's been the feature, obviously, of the World Cup. A reminder too often there are just meaningless games driven by revenue or TV or whatever that just don't mean anything and they get boring and so on. But this is just, when something's on the line, it's a reminder of the twists and turns that 20-over cricket can never have.
And that's why Wally Edwards, you know, is big on this. Let's make sure every game matters, whether it's you have the best four nations in the world, you know, every 2 years or the 2 years in between the World Cup, they have a little round robin. You know, you make sure the minnows play off for the title, for their positions in the World Cup, rather than just have these 9-match series or 7-match series. I mean, they just become boring. When it matters, it's utterly gripping.
DJ, we did see what it meant to the South African players last night. AB de Villiers, you know, tears streaming down his face. Morkel with tears, you know, having to be consoled on the field. So it certainly meant a lot to him emotionally.
Certainly did. And you couldn't help but feel for them. And I think, look, as Ralphie said, I mean, if you really wanted to go back and pick your way through it, you could probably, use the C word again. But I think that would be really unfair. I think it was they both gave everything. And in the end, you know, I must have changed my mind about three times in the last four overs about who was going to win that game. And in the end, they got to stay hit a six off the second last ball. I don't think you can say that South Africa choked. You know, all credit to the Kiwis. And well, that's just a hell of a game of sport.
It was. And I reckon even McCallum, when he was being interviewed after the game, I think he was even surprised with the performance of Elliott. did he even know who he was? Who is this guy we got out there smashing the ball?
And his sportsmanship as well. You know, extending the hand of friendship or gratitude or trying to pull up Stain afterwards as Stain was laying prone on the pitch. It was amazing. It was Flint off Lee stuff from the Ashes series.
Mark is from Bentley. G'day, Mark.
Yeah, hi guys. Look, enough. Probably enough for the match. It was an incredible match, of course. But just a couple of points. I'm off to New Zealand next week. The last time I was working in New Zealand was 1992 when Australia got smashed, and not good being an Australian down there when that's going on, I can tell you.
So, and in that 92 World Cup, South Africa cursed by Duckworth Lewis, 22 off one. We remember that amazing SCG game. And then I think it was Boucher in, was it 99? It might have been 2003. Stuffs up the Duckworth Lewis. Again, they get screwed by Duckworth Lewis. I'm not sure the South Africans love Duckworth Lewis in any way, Kevin.
Well, I don't, because I've never been able to understand it. It's a calculated formula. Does anyone really know how it works?
Nope. Well, I mean, obviously, there's fact that factors in, you know, your escalating scale of run rate in the last couple of overs. It flavours in your wickets in hand. So the short answer, no bloody idea.
Okay, how did they work it out last night?
No idea.
If you know how they worked it out last night, the run chase, give us a buzz for us just sitting there on the couch. Singh is from Bundoora. G'day, Singh.
Good day, Kevin. How are you?
Good, thanks, Singh. You want to talk about South Africa not being chokers?
Yeah, it's amazing how people are calling them chokers. Because if you look yesterday, New Zealand only had to field and ball for 5 overs in the wet conditions and the wet ball and everything, you know, wet field. But South Africa, on the other hand, had to ball and field for 43 overs on those conditions. And it is really hard to do that. So I don't know why they're calling South Africa chokers. In fact, they are the unluckiest team of the World Cup cricket. And one more thing I want to add, you know, AB de Villiers, some people are saying, you know, his body language and all. But I think he wears his heart on his sleeve. So, for me, he's a legend, living legend of cricket, you know.
Well, he is. I don't think there's any doubt. I mean, he's arguably the greatest player in the world. I think also we saw that emotion last night, Singh, because I think before they left South Africa, there was big press conferences. They promised to bring home the World Cup.
We will not choke this
to South Africa. Mm-hmm. And to go down, as you say, to the wire as it was last night and then to lose, you could see that all that emotion just bubbling over. Singh was saying they're definitely not chokers. They're just such an unlucky cricket side. Who else has just been unlucky in sport? I mean, sometimes when people are unlucky, you tend to think, oh, they choked again. Like Greg Norman. You know, we keep saying Greg Norman choked in the big golf tournaments, but when you consider how unlucky he was with, you know,
Larry Mize and
Bob Tway
holding out from bunkers,
hitting miracle shots, yep. Corey Pavin hitting a miracle shot as well. So maybe Singh's onto something here. Maybe sometimes we say they're chokers when in actual fact, they are just unlucky. Matt's from Richmond. G'day, Matt.
Good morning, guys. How are we?
Matt, we're going great.
Boys, I'm a Kiwi and Two Dogs, I love the kiss of death you put on your Aussie team today, mate. I've heard you before and you're just, you are the Grim Reaper when it comes to living, mate. So I am happy about that.
He is grim, I tell you what.
What about playing at the MCG, Matt? What sort of, you know, problems will that, you know, bring to New Zealand is playing on that little saucer over there at Eden Park?
Yeah, well, mate, I think one thing you haven't really mentioned is that Australia just don't have a spinner. And you watched the game last night and the impact that Tahir had, and probably to a lesser extent, but still pretty effective, Vittori. I just can't see where Australia can win without a spinner.
Well, we've got Maxwell.
We do.
We've got Clark.
And I don't know why Clark hasn't.
They can all spin. They can all spin.
I think in the absence of Doherty, who of course was plundered at the SCG and we won't play him tomorrow, I don't know why Clark doesn't bowl more of those. No, he has to bowl.
Well, he's had a cook back. It's because of his back.
Yeah, but he was told that if he was to pass his fitness test, he had to bowl. He bowled in some warm-up games. I was at that 92 World Cup final, England versus Pakistan. It was fantastic. You know, a new MCG. Of course, no Australian side was playing. But imagine if Australia and New Zealand got through, huge rivals, Trans-Tasman Rifles. You'd get 100,000. It would be the best thing you've ever seen.
I'd like to ask our fans, just on the back of what Matt was saying, he thinks that maybe we don't have a spinner, and that's going to be the difference between maybe winning or losing the World Cup. Give us your thoughts there. I mean, our pace attack is pretty good. We bat so deep, we can make 5,000 runs.
I would have liked to see Nathan Lyon play. I know he might go for some runs. I know in the T20 Big Bash final, he went for runs, but he also took wickets. And I don't think Xavier Darwin.
Well, you've suggested because we're playing at the SCG that might take a little bit of spin as well. And therefore, you know, India's going to be more dangerous there than they would have been at the MCG.
Were you even watch that game, Kevin, or are you just so confident, so cocky, so optimistic that, you know, we're just going to roll through and you'll just set yourself for the leave pass from Denise for 8 hours on Sunday afternoon?
I'll just be camping down at the MCG ready right. to get in with my gold pass. Right. And the buzz is always brought to you by Eco Garage Doors for all your garage door needs. At Eco, they don't just make insulated garage doors. They have the largest range of garage doors on the Australian market. Now, Eco would also like to welcome all builders and renovators to call for comparison pricing, as they will guarantee, yes, guarantee to beat any price. This is their number, 9703 1500. Fat Boy has joined us from Berry. He wants to talk about the pies. G'day, Fat Boy.
Yeah, g'day, KB. First time, long time.
Well, appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, just want to speak to you about Nace Freeman. I've been speaking to a lot of Collingwood supporters, and some of them have told me that he's got the makings of Paddy Dangerfield, but other people tell me he's got the makings of Raph Clark. What are your sort of thoughts on big Nace Freeman?
Have you seen much of Freeman?
Well, he'd had a huge pre-season, finally got rid of those hamstring injuries that had plagued him. But I don't think he set the world on fire in the NAB Cup. It's amazing how people are just dropping off Collingwood. The captains have just done a survey in which they've been asked, which other seven teams do you think will make the finals? And only one of those 18 captains has nominated Collingwood.
Was that the Collingwood captain?
I don't believe so.
Nominated himself?
No, I don't think you're even allowed to nominate yourself. So at least there was one captain out there. But look, a lot of people had him as their favourite, Nathan Freeman, as the rising star. As I say, I mean, it's only the NAB Cup. I mean, these guys work into it, you know, find their level at different times. But, you know, if there was any buzz that was surrounding Collingwood over the pre-season, I think that loss to Western Bulldogs has just evaporated it all. The captains as well, I think four of them are saying that they believe Nakia Cockatoo will win the Rising Star. I don't. I think he's just going to give us just wild glimpses of just exceptional talent. The captains as well, I don't think any of them have nominated Jesse Hogan. I think Hogan, you know, certainly is the wrong word. I think Hogan is just a huge chance to win it, given that he's basically been in the system for 2 years. Yes, Melbourne's going to cop some beatings at times, but I just think that this kid is going to be something exceptional. Can I give you a couple of my blokes that I think need to step up, Kevin?
Yes.
Majak Dawe, I think he's got, a rape case coming up in September, so we don't know what's going through his mind. It must be such a tough year. But he's going to have to do something exceptional to get into that North Melbourne forward line. I think we wish you well with that pursuit. He's got to step up. Ben Brown, four goals against Essendon. He doesn't have to step up because he's a good player, but I think he can step up to elite status really quickly. So he's one that I think takes him to immediate premiership contender. Jake Carlisle. Now, Carlisle had some great games last year. He beat up on some opponents, but he also
one game he kicked eight. It was one of the lower sides, I think.
Yeah, the Western Bulldogs. He kicked four against Collingwood. Kicked 27 for the year, but again, 12 of those came in two games.
So does he play forward or does he play back? Because Mark Thompson played him forward, but it seemed under James Hurt he played him back.
Yeah, I hope he plays forward, because I think he can, that forward line with himself and with Joe Danaher, who his kicking technique has been rejuvenated by Matthew Lloyd. In fact, he looked like Matthew Lloyd running in and swerving that ball around, and fluid movement and very, you know, straight leg.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because in just watching him, he seemed to certainly have been straightened up, and he looked more compact, and saw him kick a couple of really, really nice goals.
Yep.
And of course, last year, as you say, he was spraying the ball in all sorts of directions. So doesn't that go to show you that how important goal kicking is, and maybe clubs, you know, don't put enough time into, you know, kicking for goals, yep, whether they've got enough time after training. But surely, and we used to say this with Tommy Hawkins and Buddy Franklin early in their careers, particularly even Tommy Hawkins, who's a terrific kick now. But he used to miss them from 20 metres out consistently.
No doubt. Look at the best side in it last year. They would have won the flag anyway, Hawthorn. But amazing accuracy in the grand final all the way through. They've got biomechanists like David Rath. They've got a goal kicking coach in Adam Muse. Do you reckon Clarko says no, boys? No, Jack Russell says you got to get in off the track. I bet he says to him, kicking is the most important skill out there for goal. Mate, you guys do as much practice as you want.
Well, Damien Hardwick has challenged Tyrone Vickery to step up and to realise his potential this year. Who do you want to challenge to step up at your club to realise their potential? So is there someone at your club that you think has got potential but just needs to be challenged? Fat Boy, thanks for that. Mark is in Keilor Park. G'day, Mark.
G'day. I was thinking that the Villa did choke because he should have advised Stain to roll the last two deliveries down the pitch.
Well, De Villiers missed two run-outs. Stain goes for none for 70... Sorry, one for 76 off 8.5. So we know that De Villiers made runs. But sometimes in big moments, your stars need to step up. And you'd have to say that neither of those stepped up in the critical moment in those last 20 minutes of the game.
But am I right to say now, Mark, I know you're only saying that in fun, but you're not allowed to do an underarm anymore, are you?
No, you're not. Still could have tried it, though. No, you're not. No, I think subsequently after the Trevor Chappell situation, no, it's banned. How about Stain too? I mean, he came in there. Morkel did amazing things. Threefer came back after being hit around early. Stain got that immediate wicket, caught it mid-wicket. We thought, it's on. You know, Stain and Morkel are going to take it away from New Zealand. And yet, Stain just couldn't find his length. Bowled one in the slot. Elliot goes bang. The rest is history. But I love the tears because it shows how much these guys hurt, but it also shows that those blokes, you know, failed at the biggest moment on the biggest stage.
What's this story that we read today in the Herald Sun and also in the Age about an Essendon former player planning some legal action under health and safety? Others are saying there's going to be a class action. Peter Jess has mentioned Nathan Lovett Murray in the past, saying that, you know, he's one player, former Essendon player, who could be looking at doing something if they're found guilty.
It is a bit peculiar because this young player, and he's no longer on the list, and he was a rookie. He's not one of the players, I don't believe, who has an infraction notice. And so there is some suggestion that maybe he took injections but didn't sign forms. Now, he's in the Supreme Court asking for more documents about his medical treatment. So I think he feels it's not necessarily about, you know, his health, but it's about, you know, the uncertainty that, you know, that maybe forced him to stop playing football. I still am perplexed that these guys want to sue the AFL. Now, the AFL is far from without fault. You know, they should have warned Essendon more. They should have come out and said, you know what, we've got suspicions about your players. But you would think if people are going to sue someone, it would be the Essendon Football Club.
Yes, I read that where I think one of the unknown players suggested that, you know, they didn't really want to sue the Essendon Football Club, they wanted to sue the AFL.
Yep.
And I thought, well, I'm not quite certain whether the AFL were responsible for the supplements program. So I couldn't quite understand that. Essendon legend Timmy Watson, of course, on Morning Glory was asked about player X this morning. This is what he had to say.
I always thought that this was going to be a possibility, that somebody was going to launch legal action in some way. You know, that's the right of every one of us.
So Alan Jones...
Everyone listening out there has the right to launch legal action if you feel that you've been disadvantaged wronged in some way.
You know what? No one's without blame. WADA says we're going to have a full review of this situation. Well, you know what? WADA couldn't even give clarity about AOD 9604. They say, oh, well, we might appeal. You know what? They went with tail between legs when Cronulla players got 3 weeks. Asada says, oh, you know, we're the right and righteous body here. Well, you know what? They said that there was no case to answer in August 2012. And now 2 years on, we've got a case. I mean, everyone has had shameful episodes in this, including Essendon, the AFL, WADA, Asada. So all that chest thumping from WADA, I mean, give me a spell about that.
It's Melbourne Membership Day today on 11:16 SEN. So to become a Demons member, all you have to do is call 1-300-DEMONS or visit their membership. That's melbournefc.com.au. Back after the break, and we'll fly through your calls with the Buzz, Johnny Ralph.
On Hungry for Sports, which magical moment caught your attention over the weekend? Find out if it made Ralphie's buzzer beater.
Yes, give this some thought, your magical moment over the weekend and the famous buzzer beater from Johnny Ralph, and also his prediction what is going to be the buzzer beater next week.
I'm not quirky and antagonistic like Dr. Turf, but I do like the left field stuff. So obviously Elliot is the choice that most would go for the buzzer beater, but instead I'm going to go for this situation from the last over last night.
Well, he's hit a gap. He's hit a four. Daniel Vittori has pierced the finest of gaps. And New Zealand may have their nose in front again.
So 7 runs off 6 balls. It wasn't amazing in itself, but it looked like Steyn was going to take the game away from New Zealand. He just managed to carve that ball through backwards point. 9 overs, none for 46. Really critical. I just love the old grey beard there, just dancing around after they'd won the game. As I said, he looked like he hadn't danced like that since Harry Potter. So I just loved it. Now, my prediction... Again, normally I'll try to give these for the next weekend, but there's not a lot on. There's only V8 supercars this weekend. But I think we're going to see a lot more of this bloke coming up in the next few months.
I know that the current captain would love to have me in the England team. Who knows?
The current English captain would like you in the side.
I think he probably would, yeah. I don't see why not. I'm hitting it okay. I get on pretty well with most of the guys in there, if not all of them. I don't see why not.
Now, he's been a revelation, Kevin Peterson, of course, as a commentator. But I think, given England's woes, given that in the last 10 hours, Kevin Peterson has released himself from his contract with the Sunrisers at Hyderabad, and he's going to play for Surrey, I think he'll be playing for England, batting at 4 or 5 in the Ashes. And you know what? We want to beat the Poms, but we want to beat them at their best. So I think we're falling in love with Kevin Peterson. He might be the arch-enemy number one, though, if he plunders us in the upcoming Ashes series.
Has Kevin Peterson won you over, of course, during the Big Bash and also during the World Cup with his commentary and his personality as well and his high-pitched voice? He's quite high, isn't it, Kevin Peterson?
It's very high.
Because he's a very big man and you seem to expect, you know, more of a, oh, how you're going. You know?
And he giggles as well. Giggles. Oh, that was a very good...
I noticed last night as they signed off... He sort of said it under his breath, you know, and India, of course, will play New Zealand off in the World Cup. But then he had a bit of a giggle at Damien Fleming. Sean joins us from North Dandenong. G'day, Sean.
Morning, gentlemen. How are you both?
Good, thank you.
Just going back to who could stand out for your footy team this year, or who do I'd like to lift?
Challenge, yep.
I'm a North Melbourne man, and I do believe the window is firmly open. And I think if this young man can step up and have a consistent year... I think Ryan Bastanac could just about be anything in this football competition.
That's why I love our callers, because they're so informed. Bastanac played every game but finished outside the top 10. He was a sub in, I think, 5 games late in the year and a sub in all of those 3 finals. And so I think that's why they're happy to release blokes like Levi Greenwood, because they know they've got depth in that midfield. Played a bit more outside last year. It's a super call by Sean. He can really elevate them.
Some of the SMSs are saying the challenge has been put out there by members. Sean Attlee at North Melbourne needs to step up. His pace can be explosive. No one can catch him, but he needs to be challenged. Lewis Jetta and Gary Rowan. Amazing talents, great skills, but don't find anywhere near enough of the football, says Dan.
And Gary Rowan turns it over way too much.
Sam Reed needs to prove himself. Yes. Challenge to Sam Reed.
Great. For a Sydney side, which has the Bondi Billionaires, which, you know, will be angry this year, they've got a lot of upside, haven't they? I mean, Tom Mitchell is another to stand up. Couldn't get into the side late last year.
And this question has been posed as well. It said, if it's a New Zealand versus India final, who would the Aussies support? Well, we support New Zealand.
Well, you know what, Kevin? We... didn't play that well against New Zealand last time round.
But we'd support New Zealand, though.
Oh, okay, sorry.
If they're playing against India.
Oh, of course we would. Yep.
Yeah, no doubt. Back for New Zealand, surely.
No doubt.
Sean, thanks for that. Margaret.
Sorry.
Margaret is from Sunbury. G'day, Margaret.
Good morning, boys. How are you?
Good, Margaret. You felt sorry for the Proteas last night?
Yes, well, I did feel sorry for them. My heart ached for them when they were, especially Morkel. I did, because he did really bowl well. One of the... It's out, I guess, that did put in. But however, sloppy fielding is a recipe for defeat, and that's what defeated them.
It did, and it must be so difficult to field in those wet conditions. And we had a caller saying that, you know, that New Zealand had the best of the conditions. So
5 overs as compared to 43.
Yeah, de Kock with those 2 runouts. The ball did skid along the turf. He would have hoped for a better throw, but that's what happens in big moments. Must have been hard for Elliott to judge the length of the ball in that second last ball, and yet that's what he did.
Take a break. When we come back, I want you to tell me, how's Gary Ablett travelling?
I'm talking to Michael Ricciatelli today at the captain's launch. I hope he will. I think the medicos believe that he is ready to go, but Gary just doesn't want to almost convince himself. It's very bizarre. You know, he's played through some injuries in the last few years, but back in the day, you know, he would, if he had a little quad or calf, whatever, he didn't tend to play with pain. He has, though, recently. I hope he does. They have got, I think, is it St Kilda in Melbourne? They've got some easy games, so they might feel like let's just get him right. It's a very funny scenario.
Just want to ask you about Ice and the Community, that great story of yours a couple of days ago. What are clubs now and the community doing about it?
Well, Geelong's got an ice fight, so they've got pilot programs. What the people that know are saying is we need welfare officers or people who are armed with expertise within a football club. And so if you can see some symptoms or a bloke, you know, seems to be on ice or you've got rumours, you can go to that person on your board or your committee or you know, someone who's got some expertise in the community. There's places like Good Sports Australia that are doing good sports tours to try and adequately equip clubs. But some people like Eddie Maguire are saying, well, maybe we need to start raiding football clubs. Maybe we need to start drug testing.
Like when you drive along and they pull you over, you've got to blow into the tube and, yeah, you know, they can test you for drugs and alcohol. So what, they just all of a sudden turn up at half time and as you walk off, do a bit of a test and you can go there, you better stand over there.
Yeah, well, I think those tests cost $88. That's what the Gippsland police told me. But if you had to do that twice a year in your league, across all those leagues, you did put the fear of God across some people, because right now no one's scared of ice. And hopefully, if the only thing we've done this year is to scare some people, well, that might be a positive outcome.
Well, if half these players are running out with ice, and one caller yesterday on radio was suggesting that there was 27 team members all had ice the night before or on the day of the game, I think we need someone to test them. Thanks for that, Buzz. We'll speak soon.